Happy New Year. It was totally unexpected that we are here, but I praise the Lord that God put us in contact with the owners of this cafe months ago, and only the Lord knew the future, that our house would flood and that we'd be forced a little earlier than we had planned for. But we just praise the Lord. He knew what he was doing, and I am so excited that we're here and beginning the 2022 here. Just wanted to open up for a time of just sharing. If God has given you a word, if you have a testimony, I know some have been working on just year-end reflection. So if you have something that you want to edify the body with, give thanks, please come forward. And actually, can we say hi to the Zoom people? I'm not sure who's online. Theo's, Junior and Faith, Susan. Welcome everybody who's joining from Zoom as well. So just wanted to open up whoever has something they'd like to share. Oh, and we're going to be doing a Lord's Supper here at the end of the service. Just be careful when you're coming up. There's some cords.
Hello. So at the end of every year, I like to reflect over the past year and write a reflection. And so I'm sharing today my abridged version. So God has done amazing things this past year. And as I recount some of the miraculous things he did, I pray that he will receive all the glory. We started off this year with baby Lydia being born to the nose. And we ended with baby Jaden being born to the O's last month. We also had Lois and Frankie's wedding in October. Just wonderful answers to prayers and just so thankful. I'd like to share about four pretty significant and incredible answers to prayers that stand out to me in 2021. So the first one was our move to Torrance in March. God led us to make the sudden move from Alhambra to Torrance after many prayers and multiple signs. Moving to Torrance meant that we would be moving farther from half of our hill community, and this thought really burdened me, which is why when the Lord first put on our hearts to pray more seriously about moving, I kept looking with eyes of flesh at the city of Downey, because it is the literal midpoint of Alhambra and Torrance. So I searched and searched for a house in Downey, even though the Lord did not tell me to do it. But each house we put in an offer for was denied. Thank God that we're not in Downey right now. Then Ray and I got the coronavirus in early January of 2021, and I was forced to stop everything for 2 weeks. I had the worst symptoms among my family. I experienced several days of sleeplessness due to painful body aches, and days of what felt like starvation because I couldn't hold anything down. And during those nights, I really cried out to God, and God met me. It was a time that the Lord gave me to reset my spiritual life and my health, and I really praise God for that time. I repented before God for mostly living 2020 out of my frustration and my cold heart. I repented that my love for Jesus was so stunted in 2020. I understood a little bit more of what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 24 that because of lawlessness, the love of many would grow cold. Watching the lawless get away with lawlessness day in and day out in the news, and people being deceived and becoming easy prey to be controlled, it caused my heart to grow cold. The news angered me. The lockdowns and curfews angered me. The barking dog across from our balcony angered me. The neighbor's pot smell was becoming a regular occurrence, even in the mornings, and all the local basketball courts were boarded up. I didn't realize that I was angry. It was a slow boil. And out of that motivation, I was looking for a house in Downey where we could have privacy and no shared walls and a driveway to put a basketball rim up for the boys. I thank God for repentance because it is so sweet. I repented for house searching in Downey when he didn't tell me to. I repented of my cold heart and my anger. And as I repented, I felt so much joy in my heart being restored. I was so happy that Jesus was meeting me. And I sang praises to him those nights, and in those moments, the pain would subside. And he gently reminded me that if I have him, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, then I have everything. I don't need to be angry at Satan for being Satan or the world for being the world. Instead, Jesus overcame the world, and he was training me to become an overcomer like him and to prepare myself to stand firm to the end. I went into 2021 so thankful that I belonged to Jesus, and I recommitted my life to him, putting all my hope in him again. Then 2 weeks later, my dad showed us the Levinson house in Torrance, and the Lord prompted Ray and me to pray seriously about it. And we asked for prayers from the hill, and God gave us many signs. God spoke to me through Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. But as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. The Lord relieved me of my burden about leaving half of the hill in Pasadena, and he reminded me that he is the one who is leading each person and family uniquely. And when God says to go, we need to go. I can't look at what I'm leaving. I have to obey him, and he will take care of every person. And just the same, he will tell every other person and family where to go, and they too will have to pick up and go without thinking about anyone else. It was a simple truth that I needed to be reminded of, and ultimately, what is moving into a house, because this world is not our home. And so with that, we received a big green light to move to Torrance. And some of the immediate confirmations of moving to Torrance included seeing my dad regularly, who now lives less than 10 minutes away. It's also being close to the Kim family, who have been our closest friends and such a huge support to us. And now we live less than 5 minutes away to have fellowship anytime. The Parks officially joined the Hill, which has been a great blessing to me and Ray personally. Ray and I always hoped that one day we could be in the same church again with the Parks. And Brother Abraham and Sister Sarah have been spiritual mentors to us and such a source of strength for us for over 20 years. And we can see the fruit of their lives being passed down to their children. As Pauline and Josh have become such a huge source of encouragement for the boys. And all the new friends that have joined the Hill through connections, through 24 Hour Fitness, through Biola, through Corridor Flow, through Google, it is such a blessing from God to be part of this precious community of believers with our old friends and new friends. Okay, so the second answer to prayer was Emma's family reconciling. I remember that day in April 2015 at the airport, sending the Kims off to the Netherlands. I never cried so much at the airport saying goodbye to a friend. I had witnessed and absorbed some of the brokenness and heartbreak that the Kims and their extended family had experienced. And it was a very dark time for their family, and we felt it so deeply with them. There were 7 years of praying with the Kims and waiting on the Lord to fix the broken things that came out of those couple of years. The Kims resisted any human efforts of fixing things and instead of waited on the Lord, and the waiting was long and lonely. Watching the Kims, I was really challenged to surrender my humanism and follow Jesus. And God fixed everything and was working in everyone's hearts, and we could truly experience God making all things beautiful in his time. And God receives all the glory. It was so beautiful to be a witness of it all, to see all those years of pain washed away in a moment with love and forgiveness. And only Jesus could do that. The third answer to prayer was the Limbs having twins and then visiting this past year. As most people here know, and were praying with the Limbs for many years, they had tried for 14 plus years to have children, and they suffered a miscarriage in 2014, which was such a devastating time for them. And remembering that time with the Limbs is still so painful. There were years of deep darkness and confusion to follow for the Limbs, and it became so clear that no one can say or do anything to fix what was broken. Only Jesus could. And we waited on Jesus to come through as we held on to the truth with them that God is still good. And waiting for Jesus to fully heal their deep wounds continues to be a process. But along the way, God has surprised us with incredible bona fide miracles, and their names are Isaac and Joshua. God gave Sora and Daniel twins born on May 8th, 2020. 14 plus years of waiting for God to give them just one child, but God gave them identical twins instead. He knit each of these precious babies in Sora's womb, each of them fearfully and wonderfully made by his own hands. The summer of 2021 will stand out for me because we could hold these babies, Isaac and Joshua, with our own hands and play with them and feed them and watch them go crazy around the house. They are literally walking miracles of God. Because God is outside of time, he knew Isaac and Joshua were going to be born in 2020. But as finite humans, we have to live in the space of not knowing what is even tomorrow. I learned from this answer to prayer that God hears our prayers, he sees our pain, but he also knows the glory and redemption around the corner if we could just hang on and trust in him, trust in his goodness no matter what. The fourth answer to prayer, and the last one I'm going to share about, was witnessing Timothy, Jeremiah, and Elijah experience Jesus in incredible ways this past year. I experienced so many tears of joy this past year witnessing God meeting and changing the boys, especially witnessing Timothy's love for Jesus just blossom. It has given me incredible confidence that God loves not just Timothy, but Jeremiah and Elijah too, and he loves each of our children at the Hill so much. If we are faithful as parents, God will do everything for them and in spite of us. All three boys got to testify of their belief in Jesus and repented of their sins to the best of their ability in July and were baptized at Redondo Beach, and I praise God for their obedience. But God had much more for them around the corner. I praise God with all my heart for speaking to the boys very specifically through the mission trip and retreats that Josh and Pauline invited them to. For Timothy, the message he received was, God chose me, I did not choose him. And God will never abandon me, and Jesus is my best friend. For Jeremiah, God spoke and said that he wants my all, so seek him with all my heart, and you will be found, and I will be found by you. For Elijah, it is, Jesus is real and he loves me. So I really praise God for speaking to them. I learned from these answers to prayers that God is faithful and he is the one who will do it. He will draw our children to himself because he is their true father, and we just need to be faithful to him. Deuteronomy 6 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. Ray and I really tried to live this out. I knew God wanted us to homeschool so that we could do this more practically. But there were so many times of losing my patience, being irritable, yelling, assuming the worst and accusing, being emotional. Just so many sins of mine that spilled out onto the kids and onto Ray. And all I could do was repent before God every time and then say sorry to the boys and hope for a better day because God's mercies are new every morning. I held on to the goodness of God that if I am humbly repenting before him and before the boys while waiting for Jesus to transform my heart, he is the faithful one and will meet them in spite of me. And I praise God for who he is because he did, and I know that it is only the beginning. I don't know what 2022 will bring, but I'm excited because God is God and we are his children. And if we have Jesus, we really have everything that we need to thrive, to be joyful, to become more like him, and to experience him in deeper and more wonderful ways. So thank you for listening.
Hello. For me, as I look back on 2021, this has been the best and longest, most difficult yet rewarding year I've ever experienced in my life. And for me, I can sum it up into two halves. And the first half of this year can be summed up into three things, which is, for me, the pandemic, the college decision, and the apathy towards life. And so firstly, the pandemic and just being more involved in current events really opened my eyes to the reality of this world. And I really believed this year that Satan is the ruler of this world. And this is the first thing that I feel like God was showing me. And so knowing that I was about to enter the world, go to college, scared me. And I felt confident. I felt confident in my convictions, and because of this, I feared the world. No, because of this, I feared persecution in college, and I feared that my faith would be exposed. I feared the world, and so I feared Satan. I knew that knowledge could not carry me, and yet that was all I had. Knowledge about a God who loves me and watches over me, and I can't do bad things because then I'll go to hell. I believed this completely in my head, but there was no understanding. This belief was such a burden on so many levels and caused a lot of apathy because I could not find joy knowing I was living in a world ruled by Satan with only the knowledge that God was there. And then the second half of the year for me was great, and I can sum it up into these three things. And the first is the baptism, the mission trip, and the fall quarter. And so firstly, I was baptized on Independence Day with my two brothers, and this really was the start of my faith journey because this is where I committed to follow God to the best of my ability. And even though I knew it was going to be hard, I knew life apart from God led nowhere. And after that, nothing changed. And I really tried to live like a freed person, but in my mind, I could only think, is this it? Is this all Christian life is? Is this all God has for me? I've done everything I possibly can and nothing has changed in me. I still felt no joy towards college and my future, and reading the Bible was still boring and praying still felt like talking to the air. And I said to myself, if I'm not saved, what else can I do? And then you all know the story. I got invited by Josh to go on a mission trip about a month before I was going to college, and I said, yeah, I'll go. And Jesus spoke these words to me, you abandoned me, but I never abandoned you. And he showed me John 15:16 later. And what was highlighted was the phrase, you did not choose me, yet I chose you. And so much more happened on that mission trip. But really, I went back home filled by the Holy Spirit and a desire to really have a relationship with my best friend, Jesus Christ. And the month and a half window between the mission trip and my fall quarter was so sweet. I spent hours praying and worshiping and reading the Bible in the garage. In the morning and before I went to sleep, I would just go to our garage and try to meet God. And I learned a lot about living Christian life during that time. And I felt ready to go to college. And then, man, it was so rough. The first half of my fall quarter in Santa Barbara was really hard. Physically, I lost close to like 30 pounds due to my Invisalign and bad food and just not feeling motivated to eat much. Mentally, I felt so tired because I had 8 a.m. classes Monday through Friday. And for a homeschool kid used to waking up at 10 to get a head start on the day, this was very hard. And I felt very lonely. And spiritually, I felt deprived because I didn't really meet anyone I felt was seeking God in the first couple weeks. And I clung to 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, which says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And this verse literally played in my head 24/7, along with the life-changing Get Wrecked Spotify playlist Pauline shared with me. And because I was so lonely all day, I would just have the playlist on in the background and just walked and prayed for hours every day because there was nothing else to do. And so I clung to that. I clung to that verse. I also clung to the weekend visits home where I could be encouraged by my parents, brothers, and church. And I think I went home 8 out of the 10 weeks of my fall quarter. I'm not ashamed of it. I could not imagine where I would be if I couldn't go home that often. And the second half of my fall quarter got better. I got more comfortable with my roommates and church group. And though there were ups and downs, there were so many things that God taught me as I set aside time each day to pray and read the Word. And so these are the three main things that God has taught me during this fall quarter. One, that nothing I do will change the fact that I'm a child of God. Two, that God wants me to surrender everything to Him, all my plans, desires, and burdens. and three, that God is good. And I think this last one sums up the year 2020 as a whole, 2021 as a whole for me personally. I experience God's goodness and His timing, and each time I just take a step back and just take a moment to remember who God is. He lifts all the worries and burdens that I feel in college regarding my life and future, and just reminds me that He is in control. When I look at where I am now compared to how I started this year, I can't say anything other than God is good, and His plan is the best plan for me. And truly, this is like so freeing, knowing that God is good and He's in control of my life. So thank you. Okay, I also prepared a song because I feel like when I sing to God, I feel the most connected to Him, more than reading the word or praying. And I don't think I'm a great singer, but so even if your ears might not be pleased, thank you for bearing with me, because I think God is pleased with my heart when I step out of my comfort zone to worship Him. So thank you. I practice standing up this time.
He never fails me. All my days I've been held in Your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life You have been faithful. My life, You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love Your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known You as a father. I've known You as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life You have been faithful. 'Cause all my life You have been. That I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give You everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. 'Cause all my life You have been faithful. 'Cause all my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause
'Cause all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Thank you.
I have a quick testimony praise. I think a lot of families got sick over this Christmas, and our family got sick as well. And we all more or less healed the same way, except John. I kept praying for him, and I felt like it was a little bit special. So John didn't get all the symptoms all at once. He would get one symptom. So in the beginning, I forgot the order, but anyway, it was like, oh, I have a headache. So I would pray, and then I'd say, okay, I declare him to be healed of the headache. And then like an hour later, I ask him, how do you feel? He's like, oh, headache's okay, but now I'm cold. So he would go in the bed and then like put his blanket over. So I would pray for him, okay, I declare that he doesn't have any more chills. And an hour later, he says he's okay. But then now something else is wrong. So I kept doing that. I kept declaring healing over him. And then I just felt like there was like a spirit of sickness there. And it was like trying to dodge me. Like whenever I pray for something, he's like, oh, I can't stay here. I got to go here. And then goes over there. I pray for him. And then he moves somewhere else. I mean, the long story short, I think John got healed very quickly because of that. And he, like, the next day he was fine, and then he played soccer the next day. But I felt like this experience for me was a small encouragement from God, because, as you know, I've been praying for myself, and many of you have been praying for me about just getting healed of my arthritis. And when you pray for something that, like a sickness that you kind of feel every day, but you pray for like long time, you feel like, you know, what's going on? Is it going to get better? For me, it was a faith increasing experience, because it was very concrete how things happen. He didn't have a bundle of conditions that I just pray, can you heal him? And then he just gets healed. It was very specific prayers for specific things, and he got better. So as a result of that experience, I've been trying to pray more specifically. If I have a specific symptom at a specific point in my body, I would pray for that and just wait on God's timing. So I just wanted to praise God for listening to my prayers and healing John, and yeah. We're all feeling much better now. So praise God.
Hi, everybody. Hello. I met Pastor Ray at 24-Hour Fitness. And I came here once, you know, and before I came here, I'm like, you know what, let me check to make sure the address is still there. And it happens, you know, to change the address. I looked it up, so I came here. So it's my second time. And so I'll make this quick. You know, the last 5 years, I've been fighting our system, you know, our government in courts, you know, and long story short, in 2012, what happened was, you know, I lost my father, and I started drinking. I had a lot of regrets. I had a lot of guilt because, you know, he died from cancer, and I felt like I abandoned him. And just because I did abandon him, you know, the relationship, you know, growing up was pretty tough. You know, it's like, you know, as a, you know, as an adult, he treated me like a little kid. It was just his way, you know? And one of the things I did learn, though, is my father was like Mr. Miyagi, you know? He was like, you know, he showed me how to be a fighter. But I learned that the hard way, right? But that's kind of like the Karate Kid, you know? He's like, hey, you're supposed to be teach me how to fight. And one day he's going fishing, and Mr. Miyagi is asked, you know, by the Karate Kid, where are you going? He goes, I'm going fishing. He goes, wait a minute. Aren't you supposed to be showing me how to fight? He's like, Daniel said, I've been showing you how to fight. And then he says, show me sand the floor. Show me wax on, wax off. Show me paint the fence. And he realized those were karate moves. And so he's like, wow, he's been teaching me how to fight. So I had a lot of guilt, a lot of regret, you know. And so I started drinking. And I talked to an attorney, said filed bankruptcy. Turns out I wasn't even bankrupt, you know. I was behind my mortgage, but I didn't own no credit cards because they were so old. I told my attorney he didn't do nothing because the person on the other side is his buddy, his buddy's buddy. And so I've been fighting it for the last 5 years. And in those 5 years, 2 DUIs, you know. How did I handle it? 2 DUIs. And, you know, so... it's interesting because, you know, part of my DUI, you know, I got my license suspended, and I would go around my bus, in the bus, and the bicycles. And one day, I'm coming from Torrance, you know, and I actually stopped here, believe it or not. I'm like, wow, what a beautiful coffee shop. And there was, and the owners were here. I don't know if the owner's here. And there was, you know, kids playing. I looked inside, I'm like, what a beautiful, and then the lady actually, when I was like, can I help you? And I'm like, here I am. You know, it's like, talk about like being at the right place, you know? And so the thing that I learned this year, I did get my license back, by the way. I do have to do the breathalyzer, but that's okay. But one of the things that I did learn, you know, is like, is self-love. No matter what, self-love. Like, how was I treating myself? You know, it's like, yeah, I was mad at the system. Yeah, I was really, really angry. But, you know, the thing that I learned was self-love. How am I treating myself? I don't have control over what's happening outside, but I can do as much as I can. But how was I treating myself? You know, what was I doing drinking? I could have relied on God because I know there's a God for sure. I could have been doing that. I could have been reading the Bible. I could have accepted the system. And I could have fed my body better nutrition than alcohol. But here I am, you know, that's my journey. And you know, I'll say this is that, you know, talking to my niece, talking to my nephew, you know, they said they had suicidal thoughts, you know. And I'm like, I remember it, a long time ago, I had a suicidal thought. You know, when the economy was crashing in 2008, I was living here over here in Torrance. I had to sell my house. And it's like, but the voice said, take yourself out. I'm like, I can't do that, you know? It's crazy, like, how the mind works. It doesn't want to feel the pain. But you know what? That's the, when I feed my mind positive verses, I can defeat that negative thoughts that happen in my mind, you know? And in conclusion, I realized that, you know, if I went through this journey, that was really, really tough. It was at times pretty lonely. It was depressing. It's like, I realized I heard this before. In God's kingdom, it's very useful. And so that's one of my goals now is like through this journey is making a difference in the world, sharing self-love, and it all starts with me, you know. And so I know I'm in the right place. Pastor Rick, thank you for the invite. And self-love, that's what I learned. Thank you very much.
Well, first of all, I forgot to welcome everybody. So I'd like to just welcome back people who haven't been here for a while. Art, welcome. We'd like to welcome you in the Lord. Thank you for sharing your testimony. We also have Raymond, Grace, and I think Nathaniel, Michelle, the whole family is here. I'd like to welcome you all, the Cho family. And a special welcome to someone we haven't seen in many years, Emma's younger sister, Minjin, from Korea. I'd like to welcome you in the Lord. Thank you so much for all the testimonies. It is just a special beginning to 2022. And I think through Art and through Pastor Leo, just many confirmations that this is actually where we're supposed to be, at least for now. So I just praise God for what he's doing here. Please join me in prayer. Father, we want to learn from you today. We're your children. We're beloved children of God. Jesus, we are coming to you as disciples. We pray that you would teach us. Holy Spirit, help us. Give us understanding. Give us revelation. I pray that you fill me now with your presence so that I can be an effective representative and a mouthpiece for you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we begin this new year, what do you think is the most important thing that you're going to do in 2022? And I'm opening up for responses since we're small enough. So what do you think is the most important thing that you can possibly do in 2022? Any answers? There's no wrong answer. Stay healthy. Yes, that is important. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are three parts, but one body, soul, and spirit. So if one part of our body is failing, it's going to affect all the other parts. So that's true. Be healthy is important. Anything else? What is something that you think is going to be important for us to do in 2022? Yes, John?
Have fun.
Have fun. Have fun. Yes, joy of the Lord. It's important to laugh. To have fun, yes, that is very important. Sophie? Timothy? What? Yes, that is my answer from the mouth of children. The praise, what? Yeah, that is my answer, so no more answers. That is the answer that the Lord gave to me. What is the most important thing to do? It is to pray. And there are many teachings. People have teachings on prayer. But Jesus himself taught us how to pray. So if there's anywhere we should turn to in terms of learning how to pray, then we should look at what Jesus says in Luke chapter 11. So please turn there with me. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" And that is the Lord's Prayer, and we tend to stop there, but I want to keep reading because I think the next section is Jesus continuing to teach us about prayer. And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Amen. I think 2022, the word that keeps coming is promotion. I think in Luke chapter 6, I was reading when Jesus is praying all night, and he has in mind all of the potential disciples who become apostles. During that time of prayer, God highlights 12 of them, and they are promoted in an instant from the crowd of disciples to be apostles. And as I'm thinking there's promotion, you know, if you know me, I don't dream often. But for whatever reason, the last 3 days, consecutive dreams. And the one last night is, I think, Lord was rerouting this sermon. So I praise him for that. It says, Father, hallowed be your name. Our prayer should always begin with Father. And I don't know if you had a good father. If you had a good father, maybe it's easy for you to connect with the Heavenly Father. Maybe you had a difficult father, so it takes more effort. But our Father is unlike even the best of our earthly fathers. He is so high. He is hallowed. He is in a category all to himself. And this Father who spoke, and just by speaking, stars were created just by speaking. The sun was created just by speaking. The moon was created. And just by speaking, he created man and woman. And so this God who is that powerful, who is in a category all by himself, he says of us, we are beloved. We are beloved. The reason why I'm able to get up each and every day is because deep down in my spirit and in my soul, I believe I am so beloved of God. I cannot do what I do. I can't even function unless I believe that I am beloved. The same way that there's a few years ago, God had me through some prophetic people who spoke into my life. God had me read John, and at the time, I didn't understand why is God telling me just to read John. And John is, among all the apostles, in my opinion, he is the one who is the closest to Jesus. He received secrets that not even Peter, the leader of the disciples, received. And so Peter had to refer to John and say, John, can you ask Jesus this question? So John is special, and I think what defines John is how John describes himself 5 times. He says, I am the beloved disciple. And so for you to function, for you to thrive, you need to believe that you are beloved. Like when I think about myself, I just have a clear picture that God loves me, that I am one of his favorites, I don't know where it comes from. I just take God at his word. I believe I am like Apostle John. I am beloved. I might not do a lot of things. I might not have a lot of things to show, but I just believe deep down my Father is proud of me. I am one of his favorites. And so that is the starting point. We are beloved children of God. He is a Father who is in a category all by himself. And this Father says of all of his children, you are beloved. Your kingdom come. You may have a lot of goals for this year. You may have a lot of plans for this year. Let's throw them all away. It actually doesn't matter what goals or plans that you have or that I have. It really doesn't matter. What matters is what is God's will for 2022? What is God's will for my life? That is the only relevant question. And so first we turn to God, who is in a category all by himself. He says we're beloved, children of God. And then the next step is we surrender before him and says, not my will, but your will be done. To me, that is the posture of a Christian. We wake up each day, we pray to the Father, not my will, what is your will, Father, for me today? What is your will for me in 2022? That is what we need to hear. That is a posture of surrender. Next, give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. Some people may think daily bread is this. It's just text, ink on a page, and we just need to study it. But we know if you see scripture from a holistic view, that Jesus himself is the daily bread. He is the manna from heaven. And so when we say give us this day our daily bread. Of course, there's provision there. There's that type of prayer. I need a house. I need food on the table. I need clothes on my back. So there's that type of meaning when you ask for daily bread. But the true meaning is we're saying, Jesus, I want to meet you. Jesus, I need to feed on you. I need to be nourished by you. And how do we get nourished by Jesus? It says in Romans 10. Let's look at that. Romans 10. This is a verse I forgot to read last time. Romans 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. I encourage you this year not to study the Bible through your eyes and through your mind. This is not a textbook. This is not you're not enrolled in a seminary class to learn principles and doctrines and theology. When it says the word of Christ, there's a difference between logos, which is the word of God, the written word, the principles, the truth of God, and then there's rhema, which is a spoken word. When Jesus is tempted in Matthew chapter 4, he says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word, the spoken word, rhema of God. And here also says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the rhema of Christ. As sheep, the most important quality of a sheep is you have ears to hear. Of course, Jesus may show up and you may see him with your eyes, but primarily, how do we meet Jesus? We hear his voice. We have to train ourselves differently because all of life, we go to classrooms, we study textbooks, and we're just constantly staring and thinking. That is not how you want to start your connection with Jesus. You want to first listen because faith comes from hearing, and you want to be able to discern his voice that's different from your voice and from Satan's voices. You want to sharpen the tool of your ear because faith comes from hearing. And that word is the rhema of Christ because Jesus speaks. You know, some people think Jesus doesn't speak. Some people think this is all we have. And I say to those people, well, how do you know out of all these thousands of pages what he's speaking to you right now? There's nothing in the Bible that says who to marry. There's nothing in the Bible that says which college to go to. That is rhema. That is a spoken word where God, you just present your life. You surrender your life. Father, hallowed be your name. And when you say, give us this day our daily bread, you're asking Jesus, can you speak? I need clarity here. And as sheep, the distinguishing mark of a sheep is unlike the crowd who only hears in parables, the sheep actually get the interpretation and can hear the shepherd's voice. And at least one time for all of us who call ourselves believers, we've heard his voice. At least one time you've heard him call you by name. And for me, it was 1993. But if that was it, if I only heard his voice once, then I would be lost. If I only heard his voice once, then I would probably look nothing like my shepherd. But if I hear his voice, and through the hearing of his voice, I meet him over and over again, and he changes me from within, then at the end of my life, I won't be included in that group of people who say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus says, I don't know you. We'll be included among those who Jesus says, I know this person because he's heard my voice. I've led him all of his and her days. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And the Lord's been pressing this upon me. Luke chapter 6 is Luke's version of the Beatitudes. I covered it briefly on New Year's Eve. Luke chapter 6 is like almost a summarized version of Matthew 6 through 8. And I appreciate this because when you read Luke chapter 6, it is so clear what the focus is. Jesus is telling us, like in Luke chapter 6, verse 23, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Okay, verse 22, blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. So we may experience days like this when, because of our faith, we are excluded, we are reviled, we are cursed, we are mistreated. But there's going to come a day when worldwide this becomes official, that the Christian, the true Christian, is going to be hated like this. And it says, on that day, rejoice. Is this a picture of the happiest, most joyful day of your life when you're treated this way? This is what it's talking about at the end of the chapter when you build your house on the rock. Jesus says, do what I say. This is what's required of you. Be this type of a forgiving person, is I think what he's saying. And how can you become this kind of a forgiving person? There's clues all throughout chapter 6. If you believe that the greatest problem in your life is your sin, not anybody else's sin, not the world's sin, not Satan. If the biggest problem in your life is your sin, and you see and you judge yourself clearly because you know that I am prone to be blind. I am prone to be very generous with myself, very harsh toward other people because I'm blind. I have a log, a telephone pole out of my eye, and I'm trying to help people and assess other situations, and it's like a little splinter compared to the log that's coming out of my eye. And Jesus is saying, if you understand that the biggest problem in your life is your sin, then you can actually eventually live out Luke chapter 6, and have a house that's built on the rock. For me, the bulk of prayer is repentance. First, we start with Father, hallowed be your name. We surrender ourselves before the Lord. And we say, not my will, your will be done. Your kingdom come. It's not about my kingdom. It's not about what I can accomplish. Your kingdom come. And then give us this day our daily bread. Jesus, I want to meet you. I want to fellowship with you. The bulk of the prayer after that is, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. And we need the Holy Spirit, which is why Jesus continues the Lord's Prayer, I believe, with the section about if you're going to ask for one thing, ask for the Holy Spirit. Because one of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us is he shows us things that we did not see. Things that we're blind to. He convicts us of sin. So when you go through at the end of your day and you pray the Lord's Prayer and the Holy Spirit is with you, he will convict you of sins. That in the moment, you didn't think you were sinning. In the moment, you thought the other person was sinning. You thought other people are the problem. But at the end of your day, when you go through your day, Holy Spirit convicts you. Because you've asked for the Spirit, you've asked to be filled throughout the day, and the Holy Spirit in that moment starts convicting you of your sin, and you will see that the bulk of your prayer is repentance and pleading the blood of Jesus. That is why he came. He came, he didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick. He came for tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes, people who know that they're sick and sinful. But those, the Pharisees, who think they are righteous, who are self-righteous, who think they are above other people, who minimize their sin and maximize and amplify other people's sin. Jesus didn't come for them. And so if they repent, it is very small. Whereas the true believer, we understand that the bulk of our prayer is repentance. Even King David, when he repented, he says, You only have I sinned. You know, he sinned before people. He murdered Uriah. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He sinned to all these people. But for him, when he is before God, he says, only before you. He understood this sin is ultimately an offense to God. And if I do not deal with this, and if I stay in unforgiveness, I will wreck people, ruin people around me. And possibly forsake my own soul. But for the believer who has the Holy Spirit, we ask for the filling We ask for the baptism of the Spirit. We ask for the conviction of sin that the Holy Spirit gives. We will realize that the bulk of our prayer is, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. And if that is, if that gets cultivated in you, that you reverse it. Instead of being generous with yourself, you are generous with other people, which is why it says in Luke chapter 6, verse, my eyes are failing me. Is that the... I'm struggling here. I gotta pray for my eyes. It's 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with a measure you use, it will be measured back to you. It's a picture of somebody who went to the marketplace in the first century, and they bring a blanket. They didn't have any fancy cars or ways to transport their goods, so they just bring a blanket, and they ask for at the marketplace, can you fill it with grains? Can you fill it with beans and food? And to get your money's worth, you say, okay, let me fill this, but there's little crevices of air, like when you open a potato chip bag, it's like mostly air. You get like 5 chips. And so here it's saying, press it down. I want to get my money's worth. And it's like so pressed down and keeps filling, and it's just spilling out from the blanket. That's the picture. And that's the kind of grace and favor and mercy that will run into your life if you are generous toward other people. And how can you be generous? You judge yourself correctly. You see yourself. You remove the blindness. And you say, the biggest problem is my sin. Nobody else's. And if the goal is to become this kind of a Christian, who when persecuted by enemies, you're going to respond with, instead of cursing them, instead of reviling, instead of retaliating, actually blessing them, doing good to them. How can we get there? I think the training ground is our home. How do we respond? Spouse to spouse, when the immaturity comes out and words are said and a tone is a little bit off because we're all on our road to sanctification. How do we respond? Are we generous toward the other person or do we react? When children are to parents or parents to children, how do we react? I pray that in 2022, because we realize how much we've been forgiven, how much mercy we've been a recipient of, that we will be merciful. That when we are wronged, it is actually a wrong. It's not talking about assigning fault and being objective because objectively some people sin more than others in the relationship. But for the Christian, each person says, I am at fault. Each person says that. I am at fault. Even if I'm only actually 1% at fault, to me it's 100%. Before God, it's 100%. And if you start repenting that way, you will find over time you'll become more and more generous. And you will not react. Even if somebody says something they should not say in a way they shouldn't say it in your home, you will find yourself being able to be merciful because you spent many months repenting. And asking God for mercy. And how can we ask God for mercy and forgiveness if we don't have mercy and if we don't forgive others? That is the principle. And lead us not into temptation. Timothy shared and other people shared that Satan is the ruler of this world. And so we can't judge things with our eyes. We're not smart enough to just look at a situation and see the root cause, what the motivation under the surface. Only God sees. And so something that looks good may actually be the road to destruction. Something that looks terrible may actually be the road to eternal life. So we need to present everything to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you discern. Ask him to protect you from the evil one so that we don't fall into all of his schemes and his accusations. They are many because he's the ruler of this world. So if you just go with the flow, chances are you will find yourself entangled by temptations. And so this is a daily prayer. It is two kingdoms colliding. It is God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. We're in the middle. We're in a war. And so those who understand the fight that we're in, we're going to be asking for help. We're not going to just charge off into the day. We're going to say, Lord, I don't want to fall into temptation. Can you guide me? Can you block me? Can you protect me? Can you shepherd me? Because I am not smart enough to know how to organize and order my day. And how can we do all of this? The Lord's Prayer. It is with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's a dream that the Lord gave me last night. I was preparing for a wedding, and I didn't have the proper clothing on. I had shorts, and I didn't have a program, and so I was up there ready to begin the officiating ceremony, and I didn't even know the order. So in my mind, I'm scrambling, and I'm like, "How?" It's like so shameful. I'm in shorts, and the Lord was reminding me, remember, focus on this one. It is about the Holy Spirit. It is like the five virgins who are wise. They have oil in their lamp. They have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's job in Ephesians chapter 5 is to put a song in our heart. It is like oil in an engine. Without the Holy Spirit, you can do the Christian life, but it's like driving a car without oil. It's like there will be some friction. It's going to be a chore. It's going to be heavy and burdensome. But if you ask every day for the filling of the Holy Spirit, then it's like oil in the engine. And some just theologically say, why do I have to ask for the Holy Spirit? Don't we have the Holy Spirit at conversion? I have all that I need. And I just want to point them to what Jesus says. He says, ask for it. And this is a persistent asking, which means that even if you have it today, Doesn't mean you're going to have it tomorrow. Doesn't mean you're going to have it next week. You need to persistently, like stubbornly, be stubborn about this. It's okay to be stubborn about this one thing. Everything else, let go of your stubbornness. But in this one thing, be stubborn, be persistent. Ask for the Holy Spirit. It's like oil in the Christian life. And it puts a melody on your heart. So it's not drudgery to read the word or to listen to the word. Because faith comes from hearing. It is it puts a melody in your heart, so there's a desire for it. It also changes the way and the tone in which we speak to one another. There's psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Imagine if that's the way you relate with your spouse and your kids and your neighbors and your coworkers, with a song that you sing toward them. With that type of graciousness, that type of blessing toward the other person. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to do this. It also says in Ephesians chapter 5, you give thanks always in everything. How can we do this? As dried up, shriveled Christians who are just dutiful, your thanksgiving will run out. Unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will have many things that you can give thanks. It will just well up from within because the Holy Spirit reminds you, okay, forget about these other things. Focus on all the things that God has given that you can give thanks in all circumstances. And the Holy Spirit also allows you to be humble out of reverence for Christ. You can submit. That means a husband can submit to their wife. That means a wife can submit to their husband. That means parents can submit to the children. That means children can submit to the parents. That means pastor can submit to the church members. Church members can submit to pastor. It is a Holy Spirit generated humility. And then Romans chapter 8. Let me just end with this. Romans chapter 8. Actually, since my eyes are fading, let's just do it by memory. Romans chapter 8 is, if you focus on the flesh, you will reap death. If you focus on other people's sins, you will reap death. If you focus on the fallenness of this world, you possibly can reap death because it is fallen. The more you dig, the more fallen you will, the more potential you will fall into rabbit holes. But if you're led by the Spirit, if you focus, you have the mind on the Spirit, there's life and there's peace. That's the emotional composition of a Spirit-filled believer, life and peace. So let's pray this Lord's Prayer every single day as we start out this new year. I pray that the Lord will give more revelation, give more understanding of how central this one prayer is and the practical thing that we should end every prayer is, Father, you said to ask, I'm going to ask for the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you are the baptizer. John the Baptist, you baptize in water. Jesus, I'm asking you right now to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And so there's a filling of the Spirit, which we need to speak one to one another in a forgiving, gracious, merciful manner. There's also a spirit that comes, which is a power from on high, so that we can cast out devils, so that we can heal the sick, raise the dead. That is truly what the Bible says. And so there's a conservatism now that has taken out all the supernatural elements of the Holy Spirit, and it's that group that doesn't think they need the Holy Spirit. And I say, okay, those two fit. If you don't think you need the Holy Spirit, you don't think there's power that's available to you, of course you're not going to ask for the Holy Spirit. But if you are a true conservative and you believe what Jesus says and what he says in his word, John 14, that even greater works will you do, then of course we can't do it on our own strength, supernatural things. And so we will ask for the filling and we will ask for the power to come from on high. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for teaching us from the Lord's Prayer. We want to make this a pattern for 2022 and beyond. We all struggle with prayer. We're so easily distracted. And so when your disciples ask, how should we pray? You give a very clear and succinct and profound few verses to pray through every day. So Father, we want to put this to memory. We want to practice this as often as we remember. And Lord, we also want to end every prayer with, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Send the Holy Spirit. Send the Helper. We can't do Christian life without the Holy Spirit. We need it. We repent of all of our sins. That is the bulk of our prayer time. It is repentance. It is us being reaffirmed why we need a Savior. It's sick people saying, we need a physician. We are not okay with how we are. And so, Lord, we ask that you do surgery on our hearts as we repent before you. We plead the blood of Jesus over all of us in our spirit, soul, body, mind, will, emotion. We pray, oh Lord, that you forgive us of our sins, that you set us free. We pray that you would meet us in a supernatural way as we pray and as we prepare to partake in the Lord's Supper. I pray that you would meet us, that you would nourish us, that you would strengthen us so that we can follow you all the days of our life. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.